Announcement time. Ready? I don't think you're ready.
I'm not ready.
Get ready.
No.
All right, y'all. Your girl Jay is officially going to FatCon 2025. That's right. Seattle, Washington, I'm coming for you.
Okay. Who are you? I like the added touch of her not being able to set down the 200-calorie drink to tell people that she's going to an obesity convention. But now I'm interested. Let's hear about FatCon.
So for those wondering what FatCon is, well, it's literally what it sounds like. It's a fat liberation convention taking place in Seattle, Washington. FatCon has so much to offer, like tons of programming and keynote speakers and movement classes and literally like everything you could possibly dream of.
Except for nutrition classes. I noticed how we got the exercise classes in there because walking like 10 steps and doing some chair yoga is not that hard. But we forgot really the only education that matters for them, which is learning how to eat less. Conveniently, the convention has everything but that, as far as I can see. Let's get more into it, but first, let me tell you about this video's sponsor, Raycon. It's been a few months since I did my first Raycon ad spot, and now that I've had more time to use the everyday earbuds, I have to say that I really like these things. The people at Raycon seem to have a great understanding of what features their customers want. For example, my favorite feature is the ability to pair my earbuds with two different devices simultaneously. So if I want to be connected to my laptop and my phone at the same time, I can do that. Raycon Everyday Earbuds also come with active noise cancellation, an 8-hour battery life on a single charge, and a 32-hour battery life if you let them recharge in the case, so basically these things never run out of battery. And in the off chance that you forget to charge them, Raycons have a quick charge function that will give you 90 minutes of battery on a 10-minute charge, which is plenty of power to get you through something like a workout. Speaking of working out, my second favorite thing about these earbuds is that they fit really well into the ear and do not fall out. So, if you want to check out Raycon's everyday earbuds, then go to buyraycon.com/TBYS to get 20% off. That's buyraycon.com/TBYS or click on the first link in the description. Alright, welcome to FatCon, the biggest fat convention on the West Coast. FatCon has been going on for 2 years now, and it takes place in Seattle, Washington. At the convention, you can hear a talk from one of the excellent guests, you can meet our real-life mermaid, you can tape a paper to a door that says, slut, you can eat ice cream.
When Postmates delivers 6 times the amount of ice cream you ordered, you have no choice but to share. I knew my fellow fatties would appreciate some gourmet ice cream, and they sure did.
That sounds like a real time and a half. What a memory. And of course, don't forget the fashion shows, because there's a lot of fashion at this convention. But most importantly, FatCon is all about bringing people together in larger bodies to spread fat joy.
Fat joy to me is letting go of shame and allowing myself to feel good in the body that I have. I am glorifying obesity every day, and that is my fat joy.
Why does this woman talk like she owns more than 5 cats? I mean, I'm getting the vibes of someone who not only glorifies obesity, but also cheerfully says the term fur babies a lot.
Fat joy, in all of its expressions, is a rebellion. Parts of our culture tell us that we're only allowed to be fat as long as we're trying to get thin, or as long as we're healthy and completely able.
That's not a rebellion, that's called giving up. You find joy in not being healthy and not being completely able? Anyway, FatCon's goal is not just to bring people together to spread fat joy. It feels like its true motive is on the website here, where it says, "Our mission is to improve the lives of fat humans through art, health, and public policy. We don't seek acceptance, we seek fat liberation." What the hell is fat liberation? Fat liberation aims to reclaim power over fat bodies and lives so that folks can live free from discrimination and persecution. Oh, so you're like oppressed because you eat too much pizza. That seems to be what they're saying here.
For those of you who don't know NAFA, NAFA is the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. We want to build a movement where 100 million Americans have a political identity as fat.
What this person who is still pointlessly wearing a mask in 2025 is saying is that instead of actually fixing their life problems, they're going to try to bully the government into giving them special protections, as if they were, like, confined to a wheelchair from a spinal injury, or if they were people with real disabilities that aren't self-inflicted. That's what this convention seems to be mostly about, and this kind of ideology has been quite an annoying trend of the radical left. I have this self-inflicted problem, and instead of fixing it, I demand that everyone cater to me.
I'm dedicating 2025 to fighting for the Fat Equality Bill of Rights, and I want you to be part of this revolution.
That was the girl from the start, and she has eaten herself into having such severe breathing problems that she has to use an assisted breathing device for most of the day as a young person.
Fat individuals face barriers that nobody should have to live with. Whether it's being turned away from a doctor's office, not fitting into seats on public transportation, or being unfairly judged in the workplace. These aren't just inconveniences. They're human rights violations.
Okay, it's a human rights violation if you can't fit into a chair at a restaurant. Maybe she can sue them like that girl sued Lyft because she was too obese to fit into a car.
Just like the civil rights movements that have reshaped history, we're fighting for a world where fat people are treated with fairness, not just tolerance. This is about the right to exist without fear of discrimination, exclusion, or ridicule.
You are being treated fairly. You get the same size chair as everyone else. It's equal. What you're asking for is called privilege.
Let's push for the Fat Equality Bill of Rights to become a law, because your body deserves justice. We deserve justice. So join me. Head to change.org/fatequality and let's make 2025 the year we change everything.
Okay, I have to see this. Let's go take a look at the Fat Bill of Rights. She starts out by saying, we have been treated as less than or invisible. I assure you, Jay, that both of those things are not possible. Then she goes on about how she is mad that she has to pay more for airline seats. Let's get to her demands. Number 3, all individuals must receive healthcare in environments equipped with size-inclusive equipment, such as wider MRI machines, appropriately calibrated scales, and larger hospital gowns. Got it. So she wants hospitals to spend millions of dollars on new machines so she doesn't have to go to the zoo to weigh herself. Number 4, employers must provide accommodations such as ergonomic seating and appropriately sized uniforms. Number 5, all individuals, regardless of body size, have the right to comfortable and accessible seating in all public spaces. Jeez, how many of these rights have to do with this woman being too fat to sit down in a regular chair?
What's heaven like? Oh, it's fine. There's a shortage of chairs. Oh.
8 of them. 8 out of 10 of these rights have to do with sitting down. You can't make this shit up. This actually seems to be a strong concern from the body positivity movement, as multiple people involved with FatCon have expressed their concern about being too big to sit down.
What does fat joy mean to me? It means being able to go to a restaurant or a show or anywhere and not have to worry about squeezing into a seat.
I mean, I can think of one way that you wouldn't have that problem. You could just lose the weight. But no, you can't do that. We must think of every ridiculous excuse and cope to remove responsibility over our own lives.
Black women, when we do the same diets as white women, we lose less weight and we lose it slower. The racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
Right. I'm sure that's how the science works. Racism is why you can't lose weight. But going back to the people at FatCon, it is astonishing how much they will try to separate themselves from being the cause of their problems with the language that they use.
I went to REI looking for a life jacket, and I was super budget restricted. I was super broke at that point in my life.
Budget restricted? These people and their euphemisms. 5 syllables to replace a 1-syllable word.
I saw a bunch of life jackets that would fit my budget, but not my body. So when I talked to a sales rep, he basically confirmed that, like, there was one life jacket that would maybe fit my body, and it was about 3 times more than my budget. So I basically told him, well, nothing works for me here because I don't have that money in my bank account, and none of the other ones fit my body. And as I was leaving, he basically yelled at me, you're never going to find anything that fits your body for that price.
Pay attention to the wording. She doesn't say, this life jacket won't fit me. Instead, she says, multiple times, this life jacket won't fit my body. As if her body is separate from who she is, as if her decisions didn't lead her to being that size. It's not my choices, it's just the way my body is. I point this out because this is a consistent thing that fat activists do. They say things like, I'm living in a bigger body, to remove agency over their life. You don't live in a bigger body, you have an addiction that you're not willing to correct, and you ate your way into being obese.
Later that day, I tweeted about the incident, and all this hate came in the responses. And one thing that really stands out to me is just the idea that was being communicated that fat people don't belong in the outdoors because they're going to get injured, they're going to die, they're expensive to rescue, and that's taxpayer money. Like, that was the theme of this response thread. And it was this moment that, like, clicked in my brain, like, I am not the problem here. I am totally capable of that trip. I did it. The industry is the problem. The social barriers, the industrial barriers, the systemic barriers are the problem, not my body.
You know, probably one of the most entitled things you can do is create a problem for yourself and then call the consequences of your bad choices persecution and discrimination. Because there's this underlying implication that it's wrong for them to charge her more money for a bigger life jacket, despite the fact that it costs more materials to make, it takes up more space in the store, is less sellable than a standard size because not as many people need it, so having it take up shelf space at the store costs them money, and the larger capacity might have required more advanced design or engineering. She's offended that a bigger thing costs more, and I guarantee you that's what she's saying because it's something that's commonly said by the fat acceptance crowd. Well, I'm budget restricted, so I shouldn't have to pay more for clothes. Really? Because you weren't budget restricted when it came to food. Do you know how expensive it is to be obese?
All the other countries that wonder and say that Americans are just fat and lazy and they don't do anything to better themselves. This is what $115 gets you. This is going to feed my kids for less than a week. And this doesn't include any dinners. There are no dinners here. This is lunch and snacks. I don't know how people are making it. It's hard out there.
I'm actually shocked because I still live in a fantasy land in my head where people don't buy these items. I mean, sure, if you're at a party or if it's like a cheat day, go ahead and reach for the Takis, but chips, soda, ice cream, and donuts for daily consumption? People do that? Now, the narrative point of her video is a little confusing because you would think that food being expensive would make it harder for her to be overweight, but I can see why she's that size. Thin people don't eat like this. And it's the same with the strawberry lemonade that girl had earlier. You know, the one who wrote the Change.org petition. Thin people don't drink calories. That's fat people behavior. I mean, these people will drink an entire meal's worth of calories multiple times a day and wonder why they can't lose weight.
What do you drink in the morning?
Chocolate milk, juice, sometimes
soda. Chocolate milk and juice.
Yeah.
Those are high-calorie drinks.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is all about. They're only mad because they can't lose weight and they're using fat acceptance as a cope. I mean, just look how quickly Lizzo changed her tune when she started losing weight.
You look good, queen. Hold on. Hold on. Let me show the fit then. Let me give you the fit details because you already know. You already know I'm in that giddy. You already know I'm in that motherfucking giddy, ho.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I'm in that giddy, bitch!
Eloquently said. But this is strange because I have this article here saying that you like being fat. It's so strange that the minute Ozempic gets popularized for weight loss, Lizzo starts dumping weight. What happened to, I have a really hot body. I'm a body icon. Interesting how that narrative is gone the minute that the medical industry gets effective weight loss drugs.
Ozempic and the body condition of most of the people at the Golden Globes shows that the fat acceptance movement was all a scam. The moment that you had an easy route out of being overweight, body positivity went out of the window.
That's so true, because they're such hypocrites, they're such pieces of shit.
Now, the ones who are not trying to manage their weight are becoming so radical that they are now just saying the quiet part out loud. For context, this image is censored because she's naked, which probably violates Instagram's community guidelines. But anyway, the post says, if you think body positivity is all about helping thin folks, find another opportunity to celebrate their bodies. Thank you for admitting to that. I mean, we all pretty much expected that body positivity had nothing to do with people who have real problems, like a missing limb or a horrible skin condition. Contrary to what the media has been gaslighting us about for years, it's always been about obese people. And probably one of the more disturbing parts of FatCon is this here.
Welcome to day one of FatCon 2025. We're so excited to have so many amazing
guest speakers, keynote speakers, workshops, panels, you name it, from fat liberation parenting.
What exactly is fat liberation parenting? Are you telling kids that it's okay to be obese? Well, let's just go to the website. Here we can see a picture of two whales, which, considering the context, was probably not the best choice for a stock image. But the description says that fat liberation is a practice. It's raising resilient kids in a fat-phobic world. It's fighting anti-fat bias and oppression. And how exactly are you doing that? Again, are you telling kids that it's okay to be obese? Because that seems to be the general narrative of FatCon. Lower down it says, fat phobia and diet culture bombards parents with the harmful message that the worst outcome for ourselves and our kids is to be fat. Then next to it is a picture of a child who's thin. Again, who's picking these stock images? I thought we were trying to get rid of weight stigma. Last, it says that weight isn't connected to health, and it's suggesting that doctors' recommendations about obesity are wrong. So they are saying that childhood obesity is okay. Yet again, radical leftists feel no problem thrusting their harmful ideology onto children. Stuff like this is why people on the moderate left who don't have insane and unscientific beliefs are fleeing the party. Anyway, the founder of Fat Liberation Parenting goes on to describe herself as mid-fat when she really means obese. But more importantly, the big problem that I have with the stuff around children is that if you don't teach children healthy habits when they're young, then the odds of them becoming morbidly obese adults skyrockets. And I bring this up because recently I've been binging My 600-Pound Life, and if you watch that show, then right away it becomes very apparent that the weight is a huge problem in the lives of the people who are on that show, as most of them can't walk more than a few steps.
Once you stand up, you feel all the weight on your legs. I am very terrified of falling. I have gotten to where I use an office chair in the house in order to be able to maneuver where I need to go.
Imagine having to sit down in a chair just to go the distance of about 5 or 10 steps to leave your bedroom. It gets worse. The amount she struggles just to sit down in a car is ridiculous.
There you go.
This is actually very common for this show. Half of My 600-Pound Life is like watching someone play a game of Oregon Trail because they're required to go to Houston to visit the doctor before he'll work with them, and they are so big that it's actually dangerous for them to travel in a car for prolonged periods of time. And in this particular episode, their car broke down and they got stuck out in the middle of the freeway in super hot weather. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part comes from the first few minutes of the episode, where Delana struggles to walk from a car to the front door.
1, 2, 3. My shoes. I knew that was gonna happen.
Can you crawl?
No, my knees hurt.
Green County 911.
We need an ambulance. My daughter has fallen and we can't get her up.
1, 2, 3. Damn it, 2 more steps. Oh my god, my knee!
She couldn't do it. Not only could she not walk up the stairs, not only did she have to call 911 to get back up after she fell, but they also had to destroy her porch and get 6 different people to lift her back up into the house. So when you don't correct children's eating habits and you tell them that it's healthy to be fat, you are putting them at a much higher risk of living this lifestyle when they get older. Fortunately, Delana was one of the good episodes, and by the end of the show, she lost a pretty significant amount of weight and got her mobility back. Kind of an inspiring story, because in reality, a lot of the participants on this show don't lose any weight, and I actually find those episodes incredibly depressing and difficult to watch. But the more I look at the fat acceptance stuff, the more disgusted I am with how much time they spend coping and living in delusion instead of getting to work.
I'm a fat athlete, and despite 15 years of experience and being a certified personal trainer, whenever I walk into a fitness space, everyone assumes I'm a beginner.
Who needs an obese personal trainer? Like 90% of the people who hire a trainer are doing so to lose weight, and the reason they think that you're a beginner is because you look like the before photo on someone's fitness journey. Also, I found her Instagram, and not only does she have basically no examples of her workout performance, but the one time she did post a workout, you can read the description and see that she clearly has no idea how to make a person fit. Using 1-pound dumbbells and changing the exercises every workout is exactly how a beginner would teach fitness. But as for actually losing the weight and making the change, sure, I can go over a ton of different strategies to make that easier, and I have done that in many videos because fitness and weight loss are a specialty of mine. But the most important thing for any change is to stop making excuses and just get out there and do it. Plenty of people love to spend months to years consuming self-help content, followed by never making a change. Sure, having lots of background knowledge is great, but the most important part of self-improvement is that you actually start implementing the new things that you've learned as soon as possible. I like to think of it this way. If you want things to get better, then at some point you're going to have to bite the bullet and get to work. So why not just do that now? Stop waiting. If you need to jump into a cold pool of water, waiting 20 minutes doesn't make it any warmer. The only thing that works is jumping in and dealing with the discomfort. So why prolong that? Just get it over with. In fact, the longer you wait, the more anxiety will build, which will make it less likely that you'll make a change. So just get out there and do it. Anyway, thanks for watching. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.